Well, welcome to Hosanna Rabbah.
The great Hosanna Rabbah, as Richard and Nelly was hinting at. And we know what I mean. I'll mention them again. I mentioned it
yesterday, you know, and I was wrong. Piran corrected me. You may want to correct me in other things, but for some of my comments yesterday. But, you know, and please, by the way, you know, on occasion, not too often, I delve into speculative places. And so, you know, forgive me, be patient with me. I don't do too often. Mostly I stick with well-hewn beliefs or whatever. But every now and again, I feel the urge to throw something out there for you to think about. I'm not imposing that belief I talked about yesterday on anybody. I mean, please. It's an area of Scripture, I don't want to go back into it again, that I believe God has maybe let a little bit clouded. Because one thing I didn't say yesterday, but I will say this. The point I made yesterday is subject, and people have mentioned this to me, other people I've bounced it off, say, John, the danger with this teaching is, in fact, that it will get abused by carnal-minded people who will say, well, you know, eat, drink, and be merry, and party all I want, you know, and leave a licentious lifestyle, and, you know, and break the law left, right, and center, because God is going to pull me in with the last cord anyway, you know. It's very dangerous, and I believe he may have let it clouded for that reason. That's and kind of confirmed from people I've spoken to. So, you know, maybe it's not a teaching I want to go everywhere with. You know, it's for people who perhaps people who are who have the Spirit. You know, that's kind of a. I think. So anyway, enough about that. But another thing, yeah, what Piran was correcting me on was I talked about yesterday, in fact, being the, you know, the seventh day of the festival for the Jews. In fact, it was the eighth day, actually. You know, I mean, I leave it at that, but I think you all knew it. But I think I stayed up too late the night before and got my, you know, my calendar a bit messed up. But, okay. Well, here we are on the seventh day on Hosanna Rabbah, the great salvation. And, you know, it ties in again with what I was saying yesterday, that, you know, that here we have the Jews making an allowance for a day of salvation for Gentiles. And that was hard for them to do. They say, hey, we have the Torah, we have everything, you guys have nothing. We know that Paul condemned them for the way they divided the courtyard in the temple. You see, you know, courtyard of the Gentiles, courtyard for Israel. Oh, I can't do this. Put them down here, and I can refer to them if I need them. But, you know, they had this division, and they thought that they had our salvation because God basically made them the chosen people, that they didn't have to do anything. There was a bit of self-righteousness there and on their case. But so I give them credit for identifying the seventh day, in fact, as being Hosanna Rabbah, the great salvation. Hosanna meaning salvation, and we know what there's another festival where they say, you know, Hosanna in the highest, you know. But, Ellie?
There is a facet, I think, of Judaism that did think they didn't have to do anything, but the lulav ceremony that we just did would have flown in the face of that.
Yeah, I'm incorrect in saying that.
The Orthodox believe that you either are the fruit, or you are the person who has knowledge without fruit, or the person who has fruit without knowledge, or you're the other guy. And today, that's dust under our feet, the person who doesn't care enough to do something. So those feel like, man, you better do something.
Yeah. When I meant that they don't have to do anything, I meant that they didn't feel they needed to go find the truth, that it was already, and they had Torah, no one else had Torah, and so, you know. I mean, we know today there's even Messianic communities, and if you go visit them as a Gentile, they want to push you off. Some of you guys have told me that in different places, you know. That's kind of more what I'm talking about versus, I mean, no, because they had some wonderful rituals, something we may not all agree on, like, you know, you and your husband, you know, kind of. But anyway, no, it's wonderful from that point of view. But in any case, today is what was the day that they recognized as being the great salvation. And, you know, here they were, and there's this marvelous scene in John 7:37, and we'll spend a bit of time on that scripture if you have any views on it. But, you know, here Yeshua is in the temple courtyard, and he didn't condemn what they did. You know, they had this marvelous ceremony. I was going to read it. I wrote it in my paper on the eighth day. And again, it's Judaistic, Richard, but they did have this wonderful ceremony. You know, throughout the seven days, I'll read what I'd written in my paper here. Throughout the 7 days of the festival, a special Kohen, a priest, carried water in a golden pitcher from the pool of Shalom to be poured into a basin at the foot of the altar. And it symbolized a prayer for rain. And it also pointed out to the outpouring of Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, on the people of Israel. Now, on the seventh day, the water pouring was accompanied by the priests blowing golden trumpets, maybe sort of like we did in our own way, the ordinary people waving their lulavs and chanting the Hallel, you know, Psalm 113 to 118. Just must have been a gorgeous ceremony. And we don't find Yeshua condemning any of that. In fact, he took it, and you see, he really jumped on the Holy Spirit part of it, like Richard was hinting on. And he said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink, and out of his heart shall flow fountains of living waters. And so we'll talk about that a little bit. But water was definitely a symbol of today. It's funny that you should be talking about water as well, you know, and in the beginning here. But let's start off by reading a little bit from Exodus 17. This is really one of the, you know, the sad stories of Israel again, grumbling to Moses. But it kind of indicates that Israel overall, you know, 1,000 years later was well aware of this, 1,500 years later, I should say, I guess, when at the time of the temple ceremonies, Exodus 17, I can't walk and chew gum at the same time. Okay. Anyway, this was their complaint to Moses in the desert, you see, because they had no water. And we know that, you know, part of the whole festival, but especially the seventh day, was they realized the significance of water. Just like I said, they prayed for rain so that they would have water to grow their crops. It had to do with, in fact, maintaining their life. We know that we don't live very long without water, right? You know, try growing a plant without water, it won't work. That's why the symbolism of water to spiritual issues is wonderful. And we see, you know, Yeshua play off that as well. Okay, in Exodus 17, all the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages. The several 100,000 people, according to the mail, I think some people estimate there was 2.5 million people. It was a massive amount of people. So it's no wonder they went out in stages. According to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim, I guess, where there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people found fault with Moses and said, give us water to drink. And Moses said to them, why do you find fault with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test, or to the proof, it says here in my Revised Standard? But the people thirst there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? You see this need for water. So Moses cried to the Lord, what shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said to Moses, pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the rod with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you, there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he came, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because the fault finding of the children of Israel, and because they put the Lord to the proof by saying, is the Lord among us or not? To me, I find that almost inexplicable. You know, here he brought them by a mighty miracle across the Red Sea out of Israel, you know, and they already have said, well, you know, is he among us or not? You know, they didn't have faith, brethren. They lacked the qualities that, you know, we talked about a bit yesterday as well. They of course, they lacked the Holy Spirit too. So now we can go from there to John 7:37. And we'll just take a look at what Yeshua said there. And if anybody has any other scriptures they want to bring, you know, I'm open to it. My focus is on John 7:37 and on Revelation 22, a beautiful scripture back there that ties in very much with this scripture here in John 7:37. Don't need to read it, I know it, but we want to pick up the couple of verses down below it. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Yeshua stood up and proclaimed. This is probably right, we don't know at what time of the day this was, but it was probably right after the water ceremony I just talked about, the priest going down to the pool of Siloam, bringing up the water. In fact, I didn't go and look this up again, but I don't know if anybody's familiar with this. They also had, they'd go to the altar and they poured water into a silver funnel, I guess. I forget about that.
Gold.
It was a golden. Yeah, I didn't take the time to look it up last night, but it also was probably a really, really wonderful part of this water ceremony they had on this day. But in any case, Yeshua picked up on this theme of water here, and that's kind of what we want to focus on. On the last day of the festival, the great day. Hosanna Rabbah, the great salvation. See, Yeshua stood up and proclaimed, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me," again, I was hinting at that yesterday, believing in him is all that's required. Believe in him and on his blood sacrifice, and you will be saved. "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living waters." Now, in the next verse, John explains, actually, it's wonderful that he did put this in here. Otherwise, we would have all sorts of explanation of guesswork, maybe. Although I'm sure some of the bright and converted people would have figured it out. I'm not sure I would have. Except there is a link between the Holy Spirit and water, that's for sure. Now, this he said about the Spirit, John says. So he was talking about the Holy Spirit, which those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Yeshua was not yet glorified. Anyway, so today is also a celebration of the Holy Spirit going out into the world. We know that's not happening today, brethren, in a massive way, where the Spirit will, as I think as Isaiah says it right, will cover the truth of God. The Spirit of God will cover the planet as the waters cover the deep. You know, anybody want to comment on that? Okay, well, Ellie?
Yeah. As far as it would seem to be contradictory, and I know it's not because that doesn't happen, but James 2, verse 19 says, "You believe there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble." So the demons know who the Messiah is, and they know who God is, and they are not a part of God. So it must take responding to above belief of.
Yeah, I was hinting at that yesterday, and I'm glad you brought it up, because maybe I'll just clarify it. You know, knowing Yeshua is one thing. We can know all about him, but what I believe what God means by that, and you know, I'll take comments from anybody else, is that we know him. We know that he is salvation. We know that he is that through him we find salvation. That's what we want to know. This is it. I have found Messiah. I found him who's going to bring me salvation. And that's what everybody will have to acknowledge, that, you know, salvation is not through Muhammad or through any place else, or not through anything else, not through Judaism, not through anything else, but simply through him. His sacrifice, without his sacrifice, we stay in our sins. Even without his resurrection, as Paul says, without his resurrection from the dead, and so he can go before the Father and have his sacrifice accepted, we are as nothing. We Paul said it's all in vain. I'm wasting my time here. I may as well be back at work. You know, so it's that kind of thing. It's not just knowing him or knowing about him. We need to know about his act of salvation and accept that act. Accept in faith his sacrifice for our sins. That's, I think, what we're trying to get at, and I'm glad that you stimulated us to clarify it again, Ellie. You're absolutely right. It's not just knowing Yeshua; it's knowing what he did, and that blood sacrifice without which our sins don't get wiped out and we don't find life. We stand under the death penalty. We know that the penalty of sin is death, as we're told by Paul. Okay, now. The first thing, and I'll just make a couple of comments on this verse. The first thing, and it ties in maybe to what you and I are just conversing about here, Ellie, is the first thing people, as you see, Yeshua says, if anyone thirst, first we have to thirst. Now, and like I said, you know, when we're thirsty, boy, I tell you, we crave water. You know, try fasting for a couple of days, whatever. We crave water pretty quickly. You know, we can go for a long time without food, you know, but we can't go. But I don't, does anybody know medically how long you can go without water? 2 days?
Three days.
Okay, you know, it gets pretty pretty rough. So after 3 days, you would give anything for some water. And so Yeshua puts a condition in. He says, if anyone thirsts, first we have to thirst. Does the world thirst today? No, it really doesn't. You know, they're thirsty for, you know, how the Raiders and the 49ers are doing, and, you know, how Obama is doing, or whatever it is that's on their mind. You know, their jobs, their everything. And some of it is fine and dandy. Their entertainments, and on and on. They don't thirst for the Word, or to have the Holy Spirit, like he's saying here. You know, we're told many times to ask for the Spirit, and that's, I think, what Yeshua would have us get out of the Scripture. David?
I think they do thirst, but they're going after the wrong thing. They are thirsty.
They don't know what to thirst for,
so they fill themselves with the things of the world.
And that can be anything.
That can be the sports, the entertainment. It can be even food. It can be anything. It can be drink. It can be drugs. It can be all the other garbage that's out there that can fill your life, but never quench that thirst. And they stay there looking for that fulfillment.
Yeah.
But really, the only thing that can quench that thirst is the true living water, which is Christ and the Word. And the thing I've seen even more so in the church, why I think the church today, the body of Christ, has lacked its power, is because they have been eating junk food. Just like when you're invited, we were talking about it the other night.
Yeah, yeah.
When you are invited to go to a feast that has every kind of absolutely wonderful prepared, gourmet, extremely fine foods of the best quality, of the best preparation, and you fill yourself all day with potato chips and Coke and cheese puffs and junk, stuff that's not good for you, but you're full of that. And then you go to this feast and you're looking at all this food and I'm not even hungry. And you pick and poke and, oh, that looks good. I think I'll try that. You can't enjoy that wonderful feast that's been prepared for you, which I liken unto the Word of God and living after the Spirit, living in the Spirit, when we're filling ourselves on the junk food here on earth, all the things that fill us up on the TV and, again, our time and our energies and all the things that we think that are good and fun and wonderful, but they have no substance to them. We fill ourselves with that junk food here on the earth.
Yeah.
We should be eating the wonderful feast that God has prepared for us instead. And so we're never hungry for the Word. We're never hungry for the things of the Spirit because we're so full on the junk food here on earth.
Yeah. And you sort of remind me of that country song, you know, looking for love in all the wrong places. That's it, you know. People are looking for fulfillment. You hit the nail on the head, David. They're looking for fulfillment. They're looking for what we have here and what we're blessed to learn, you know, and they're not finding it.
On the lulav, the willow is the first one to die without water because the willow tree will plant itself along a river so it can get water. That's why at the end of the feast, the willow except when it's in the refrigerator and moist air, like it has been. Normally, the willow leaves would have all been totally crumply, and you walk on because they're dead. And that is us without water.
Wonderful.
That's why that willow is there.
Wow, that's good.
Very, very good. Lovely, some lovely comments. So guys, let's go back to Revelation 22. There's always things to learn at the end of the book. God never fails us at the end. I say this about the seven churches, you know, and some teachings I've done on that, you know, it's kind of like God's last hurrah to the seven churches. They say it's like people who work in sales talk about, what's the guy with the glass eye?
The closer?
Yeah, the closer, you know, kind of thing. The last hurrah going out the door. But in any case, the last hurrah at the end of the book here we'll focus on today. I'm just going to focus on one verse here. Verse 17. But we can see actually the theme of water here. I'll just look at you know, verse 14. Those who wash their robes, blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life. You know, wash them in the blood of Yeshua, if you will, I guess. But in any case, verse 17 is a lovely verse here.
Where are you at?
Revelation 22, verse 17. Yeah, the Spirit and the Bride say. That's in fact the Spirit and the Bride, being the Church, say, "Come." This is for everybody to come. Let the whole world come. Come, let him who hears say, come. And let him who is thirsty come. Let him who desires take the water of life without price. I love that. I love that last part, you know, without price. Basically, you know, we're without excuse. People can say, well, you know, I can't afford it. You know, I have to go buy some cassettes or do whatever, you know, buy some CDs. you have to become a member of club, whatever. No, it's take it without price, you know. Freely you have received, freely give, Yeshua said, some bliss else. But it's a beautiful thing. Let him who desires, again, you see, let him who desires. It's like there's like an if here, it's up to you, you know. It's up to you to desire it. If your desires are elsewhere, like David is saying, well, then that's too bad, because you're going to come up feeling still hungry, actually. You won't, you know, water doesn't really satisfy. You know, I drink water. If I go into go 2 or 3 days without after today, I'm still going to crave water. That's not so with the Spirit. You get what Yeshua is talking about, the Holy Spirit as the water of life, and you won't be thirsty after 3 days.
You're going to die.
You know, yeah. Yeah, you're going to be gone. Yeah, that takes the analogy to the ultimate. That's all I have to say, brethren. This is a special day that symbolizes salvation for everybody. I was saying yesterday that one of the great things I bemoan is that Christianity would teach that, you know, unless we get to them now, they're lost. You know, it's terrible. Even I think the time I spoke in Sebastopol, I talked about, I was sitting in the gym reading the Wall Street Journal, you know, and he was an article with Rick Warren. I don't know, you guys know who Rick Warren is, you know.
And, yeah. Who knows who he is
we
now.
All know
do you?
Well, he had that debate between he hosted a debate between Senator Obama and...
Oh, he did?
Senator McCain about a month and a half ago, maybe.
Rick Warren did?
Yeah.
That's just how out of touch I am with
so
some of the media.
It was the first impressive thing I've heard
with his purpose-driven life, purpose-driven church, I think he's made a contribution, but he's clearly way off on many, many things. But he was, I guess he has this annual conference that he holds and invites a lot of big wigs of all sorts, you know, and intellectuals or, you know, the educational community, whatever, you know, and to discuss things. People from the secular world and whatever. But there was a Jewish lady there and stood up like she would maybe ask Yeshua, whatever. And she asked Warren, tell me, Rick, you know, I don't believe in Jesus, you know. Am I lost? And he says, ma'am, I hate to have to tell you this, but you are. You know, I know, you know, I mean, he was making a point, but you see, if he knew this, he would be able to say, no, our God is a God of second chances. He really, really is. And you know, people, everybody will get a good chance to come to the knowledge of the truth and come to accept, you know, faith in the blood of Yeshua. And that's, boy, I tell you, that alone makes this day great to me. You know, I would drink champagne to that. You know, it's a beautiful thing. And I wish Rick Warren knew it. I wish some people who have a lot of media, whatever. But it's not the time. We don't have to worry about it. It's kind of you were saying the other night, David. We don't have to worry about it. God will do it in his own time. He can, you know, sing it from the sky if he wants to people. Other than that, you know, happy Hosanna Rabbah, brethren. It's a wonderful day when really we celebrate the coming up of all our relatives and family and stuff. Those who won't make it in the first resurrection will come up on this glorious day. It's a beautiful thing.
I guess you have another scripture that's on that same topic.
Yeah, let's go.
Isaiah 12:3. Yes. Ushavtim mayim besason mimaneha Yeshua. Therefore you will draw, joyously draw water from the springs of salvation.
Yeah. Thank you, Jeff. That's terrific.
That doesn't.
Yeah.
Anybody else got anyone?
We should dance for that.
Yes.